radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. See, God preaches to dead people, and those that hear will come forth and be born again and be saved. Jesus talked about that. He was talking to a crowd. He says, many of the dead are hearing me now. And he says, God's going to judge the quick and the dead. And the reason that God allows them to think it's strange that you don't live like they do anymore is because he's going to judge them. And he's put you in their world to prick their conscience and to make them to realize they're going to give an account with what they did with you, what they did with Christ, what they did with the Word of God and the truth that might be known. 1 Peter chapter 4, 13, that was 4 through 6, but it goes on and says, but rejoice, because of this whole, you know, being spoken evil of verse 4 in 1 Peter. It says in 4, 13, it says, rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. See, redemption is still going on. Jesus paid it all, but he's left us here, boots on the ground, to continue to represent the truth that God so loved the world. That's our calling. The Colossians had lost the plot. They were looking at angels. They were looking at certain rituals. And they were thinking, this is what we get. He says, no, you are his body. You are now here. And God is pleased to reconcile you and to present you. Listen, to present you to the world. That's what he's doing. How does he present you to the world? He presents you to the world as people who are holy, sacred in God's sight. That's what it means. You are sacred in God's sight. No matter what you do, washed in the blood. Amen? That's good. You cannot be distanced from him in any way. You are absolutely accepted by God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You are made holy and you are unblameable. You know, every time you do something stupid, you think, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. The devil runs into the throne room of God and says, see, see. And Jesus stands up and says, I got that one too. I got that one. You cannot blame the child of God at the bar of God because the Son of God stands and advocates for us. You need to see how secure you are in him so that you can kind of, okay, I'm just going to do Jesus. I'm going to love on him. And I don't care what the fallout is because I've been made holy. I'm a sacred entity in the real world. He reconciled me. He put me to stand right beside him. He presents me to the world as somebody who is number one, holy. Number two, unblameable. Number three, unreprovable in his sight. You know, it's crazy these days. You know, you see these different situations where young people are so far off the rails. And you think, man, even a mother would have a hard time putting up with this behavior or whatever. But it's not so. Mothers many times can look beyond all that. Even if their child did something so awful, they would be at their execution if they needed to be. A mother would be there. If I break her heart, and you know, the Bible says that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit. Do you see how condescending God becomes to you and me? That he would allow us to do that? To grieve him and to quench him? He ain't leaving. So if we continue to go headlong to the left or to the right, we're going to be miserable and we're going to be grieving him, but he's loving on us. We are unreprovable. Jesus paid it all. And he says it's part of the pleasure of the Lord that he has reconciled us to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight to the world. The world sees the true child of God and the children of God who make up the true church. They are unreprovable and unblameable in God's sight. He loves them, and he presents us to the world, just like he presented Jesus. When Jesus went down into the waters to be baptized, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, and he presented his Son to the world. And for you and me, we are now being sent forth and being presented. As we saw in Acts, he says, you're going to, through much tribulation, enter, and you need to get your mind around the fact that it has been granted unto you not only to believe, as Philippians tells us in chapter 1, but also to suffer for Christ's sake. You and I go through a world that has gone mad, and we're trying to maintain our sanity. Could you imagine being placed into a mental hospital, extremely mentally incapacitated people, people who are raving, and you know, they talk about raving. You know, in those places. And yet you're fine. Everybody knows you're fine. And so they don't do anything for you, but you're still on the list. That's what we live in. We live in a world that's stark raving mad. And we are trying to maintain our clarity. And the only way we can do that is by being close to the Lord. And He made that possible by reconciling us through the blood of His cross. And so when He says that we are unblameable, unreprovable, holy in His sight, if you continue, the if is not about your salvation. The if is about whether you are going to be useful to Him in this capacity. You and I, who are born again, have been brought into the family of God to be made gazing stocks. This is what I'm trying to establish for us. And it's going to be hard sometimes. And we're going to want to flip over to the ritual. We're going to want to flip over to the angelic and get into some super mystical stuff like they did. But He says, no. He says, no. He says, you've been saved to be a gazing stock. Own it. You are the body of Christ. As if He was right there where you are His body. And the Bible says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Underline or circle the word hope, because that's what he referenced back in verse 5. He says, you had faith in Christ, and you had love for saints, because of the hope. For the hope. What's the hope? What the hope is we're going to have eternal life. That in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. The hope is we're going to get out of this mess. And everything's going to be okay. And that no matter what goes on down here, our Father is writing the story. And He will sustain us in the most dire of straits. That is the hope. That He's not only going to come and get us, but He's going to get us through this. You and I are up against insurmountable odds, humanly speaking. The entire world would have us to believe we came from monkeys. It would have us to believe that there is no morality, there is no right and wrong, that there is no standard, there is no God, that the universe just came into being out of nothing. It would continue to tell you all of these things to the point where you would begin to walk lockstep with them. If you tell a child he came from an animal, he will behave like an animal. It's an inevitability. You may remember years ago, probably the 70s, that whole song, Muskrat Love. That's what they get. They get muskrat love, jumping from place to place to place. Immorality gets a pass in the paradigm of the world. But we understand there's a God in heaven who gave us commandments. And He gave us prophecies. And He gave us truth. And He gave us insight. And He gave us not only all of the truth about eternity, but He proved that there is an eternity to be reached for and aspired to on the right side when His Son died, having said He would, and on the third day He rose again. He proved that He went to prepare a place for us and that He will come again and receive us unto Himself. He proved it by His own example. And the Bible says of Christ in Peter, it says He's left us an example that we should follow in His steps. And that means suffering. And suffering is no fun. So if I put that on the front burner when I'm sharing Christ with somebody, hey, you want to get saved? Get some suffering. They're going to go, I don't know. Where's that suffering thing? What's that all about? No, we just tell them about Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit bring to their heart what's true. But as you get saved, you begin to realize there's a joy, a buoyancy, a blessing, a peace, a contentment, a clarity. It's all there. What would it be worth to know all about Jesus in personal experience as well as on the pages of Scripture, and then have the opportunity to represent Him to your sister or your brother and win them to Jesus? Is it worth that? You know, you see somebody sitting outside of their home, and the home is engulfed in flames. The door, there's a little clarity, they open theirs, but the windows, you know. And somebody comes up to the parent and they say, we don't know where your daughter is. We don't have her. You have a daughter? We didn't even see anybody but you and her and him. And dad or mom bolts through that door and says, I don't care. I'm going in. Now that's the kind of suffering we're called to. People's souls are at stake. And we're willing to bear the reproach to the old rugged cross, I will never be true. It's shame and reproach I'm going to gladly bear. Okay, that's where we got to live. Because that's what we're called to. When he says that we are reconciled and we are now presented to the world as unreprovable, unblameable, and holy, you've got to remember where you came from. He says, if you continue and be not moved away from the hope. The hope is that thing that draws you forward. The only reason you'd run through that door is to think maybe you'd get your daughter out of there. My point is, the Bible says in this passage that you and I need to remember the hope that was in the gospel when we heard it. He says, this is a hope in this gospel that you heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, verse 23, am made a minister who now rejoice in my sufferings. Circle the word now. Where is Paul? Paul is in prison. He might have had a bad day till he started writing this letter. He says, you know what? This ain't for nothing. I'm in prison. Why am I in prison? I'm in prison for you. For your faith, for your strengthening, for your encouragement, for your uplifting, for your buoyancy, to see that as I have suffered, as Christ suffered, so you will suffer. He says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind, listen to this, which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. Did Christ not do enough? No, he did everything he needed to do. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. All according to the Scriptures. He did what he did. But he's the head and we're the body. And the body's still here moving around doing good stuff. And if you have to suffer for Jesus' sake, then so be it. Because that's what God would have put on our plate that day. And so when people watch the Christian go through suffering and difficulty, they see something different about them. They may be weeping, but they're singing in the prison. Remember Paul and Silas in Philippians 16. They've been beaten. They couldn't sleep. They're just been singing hymns. And then God says, okay, you guys are showing them something. I'm going to take it up a notch and I'm going to break open all the doors in this prison. And he did. God broke open all the doors. What was happening was the world was seeing what God was presenting. What did God present? God presented Paul and Silas. What does God present to your generation and mine? He presents us. And he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings because I see it's purposeful. And every time you go through something, if you see the hope that is set before you, you know there's a purpose in it. And he says, I rejoice now in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You see, we all are interconnected. And he says, when I suffer, their whole body suffers, but there's purpose in the suffering. Everybody comes here and looks and sees what's going on and see how God shows up. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you won't have to fear any evil because more than ever, you're going to know you are with me. Okay. Sometimes we lose the plot because we got it so easy. But when afflictions come, we begin to see he's so good. We forget that. And Paul says, listen, I now rejoice. Because this is, you know, you guys are chasing the mystical, you're chasing the liturgical. He says, no. He says, look at what I'm doing. I'm not chasing either one of them. I'm in prison and I'm happy. I'm a happy guy. I'm glad to be here in prison for the body's sake. Not for nothing. It's for the body's sake. And it's for the prison guards. You know, Paul was talking to the Philippians. He said, don't worry about me, man. I want to just let you know, many of the prison guards have gotten saved. So it wasn't for nothing. Wherever you are, he is because you stand with him and he presents you to the world with whatever you go through. He says that he does this for the body's sake. Verse 25, he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. What is the word of God's fulfillment? What is the fulfillment of the word of God? God wants to reconcile all men to himself. The Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to repent now. Says the times of this ignorance, God winked at, now commands all men everywhere to repent. God is not willing that any should perish. So what is God's will all about? It's about Jesus. It's about reconciliation. History is indeed his story. And we understand that he's the head, we're the body, we're boots on the ground. We are presented to the world in a standing that is something to behold for the world. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So if we're not in affliction, maybe we need to be occupied with the stuff we can do while it's still peaceful, right? That's how we let our light shine.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.